I'd like to pray with you. Heavenly Father, we come to you needy. We come to you dependent on you. We come to you believing that you could make something good out of messes. We come to you believing that you're infinitely good. Even when we don't understand. I pray that you would use my words to bring encouragement to people. That your church would be built. I pray in Jesus' name. It was really hard for me when we had to say goodbye to our daughter, Sherry. She flew to the States on June the 15th. And it wasn't because I didn't trust this community to do well. It felt like a personal defeat. I, as her father, wasn't able to protect her. It made me feel inadequate. I know that it had nothing to do with my lack of faith. We repeatedly prayed. She was anointed several times. God has been silent. I had to come to grips with the fact that I'm angry with God. I don't understand him. And then I was ready to start with the book of Job and my personal devotions, and that just felt like bad timing. I want to share some things about my journey, and it's very fresh. And so I don't want to cry, but I just beg you to be patient with me. I'm not crying because I don't want to talk to you. I very badly want to share these truths with you. I think you'll understand after I get there. The truth that God gave me that I want to give to you is that I was angry with God because I lacked information. There was things that I didn't understand. And maybe you're in the same shoes, maybe you aren't. But if you need to deal with a very difficult situation and God seems silent, then I just want to share that truth with you, that God is speaking to me about God seems It seems difficult. It seems hard. But there's something that I don't know. There's something that I lack. I can't see the big picture. And God doesn't measure time the way I do. And as I was reading the book of Job, some things stood out to me that hadn't stood out to me before. And one of them is the way the book is set up. There's like two chapters of tragedy, and then there's lots and lots of chapters of this dialogue. And it's the same, the message is always the same. Job, God always blesses the good people, and he always punishes the bad people. Therefore, you have hidden sin in your life. And Job tries to appeal. Job says, I don't think that's right. But they just hammer at that. And I really don't know how long it was from the time the first servant came to him and began to say, your donkeys have been killed. And, you know, I don't know how long it was from chapter 1 to chapter 42. I don't know if it was 1 month, 3 months, or a year. Or maybe more than that. I just don't know. But I think maybe the structure of the book says something to us, and I just want to give it to you for what it's worth, that those 40 chapters in the middle, or whatever it is, it seems so long, it seems so endless. You're afraid it will never end. As I was reading through that, a truth became precious to me. It was the truth that one of the last verses says that Job lived 140 years after this and that he saw his great-grandchildren. That God restored all that he had lost and gave him double. So I just wanted to tell those of you who are going through a difficult time that it seems like an eternity. It just goes on and on and on and on, and you don't know what's going on, and it just seems like, when will this ever end? I want to just speak the truth that says, In God's picture, the 40 chapters in the middle that represent 1, 2, 3, I don't know how many months or years, and it's not the same for everybody. But the truth I want to share with you is that God doesn't do what he does for naught. And that he will give the 140 years. And even if, literally, your years in the middle are long, and your period of seeing the smile of God are short, God has ways of evening things out in eternity. I just want to say that to you. I remember so well when our daughter Evie was dying that God was silent then too. And then he gave me the words that, Arthur, there are things I can do in your life when I'm silent that I can't do when everything is going well. And so really, my anger at God, your frustration with being in the middle, and it just feels like it drags on and on, it has a whole lot more to do with what we don't know. And even if we could know everything, we couldn't process that information, and we wouldn't know what to do with it. A lot of things have happened to me in the last month. It's been a wild journey. I'm going to tell you three stories and then tell you what's going on in my life. I think you'll understand. The first story that God has brought to me is the story of Saul's panic. I think you know the story. I'm not going to read it. Saul, the King Saul, is pretty new at this thing of being king. He's the general of his army, and his soldiers see the enemy soldiers. That group is the Philistine army is just growing and growing and growing. And his soldiers are slipping away in the night. This is going from bad to worse. And he doesn't know what to do. Samuel has said, I will come back in 7 days, and I will offer the sacrifice, and you will have the blessing of the Lord. And so Saul is there, you know, day one, day two, his army is just falling apart. There's less and less people. What's going to happen? I don't understand. Finally, the seventh day, when he felt like he couldn't hang on any longer, he, a Benjamite, offered the sacrifice that he wasn't supposed to do that. So there's two violations. It was the violation of him doing what he wasn't supposed to do, and he wasn't qualified to do it. And he lost the blessing of God. He acted in his own strength, in his own panic. And the smoke is still circling up from the fire when Samuel shows up. He should have hung on. But the panic became so intense that he made a choice. It was because of that choice that God said, you're no longer king. The kingdom is taken away from you. He hung on to it another 40 years. But God said, "You, by that act of you panicking, you disqualify yourself." Because of his disobedience, he was rejected. The second story I want to tell you about is about the Red Sea trap. Children of Israel are leaving Egypt. God leads them to the Red Sea. And so they have mountains on the one side, the Dead Sea on this side, and the desert over here. And what I understand is that God created a trap that was so attractive, a grieving Pharaoh says, this is an opportunity I cannot afford to miss. So a grieving Pharaoh comes against Israel with his best troops, his best chariots, and God stops them. He lets Israel
cross the, now that they're there, he lets Israel cross the Red Sea. God takes away the cloud, and they see them leaving, and they say, if they can go across, I don't know what kind of magic they did, but we're going to do it too. You know the story. What I saw and what I understand and what speaks to me in the story I'm about to tell you is that God lured the Egyptians into the battle, and God did a powerful work of destroying the enemy that made so that there was no chance of there ever being any guerrilla activity after that. You see, if that hadn't happened, the Egyptians would have seen their mistake at letting the Israelites go, and they would have tried to get these people back. But God lured them into the trap and dealt with them in such a decisive way that no Egyptian is ever going to chase these Israelites again. God receives much glory when the enemy is dismantled. You remember what happened with when Joshua was fighting all night? God put the sun and the moon on hold so that they could finish the battle. This is something what happened at the Red Sea. God dealt in such a decisive way that the enemy was destroyed. And I like that. The third story isn't so much a story as a truth that has become real to me. The Bible says, I think it's somewhere in Galatians, that in the fullness of time, God sent Jesus. And I've always read over that and never really thought very much about that. But in the fullness of time means that God, from the beginning of time, was orchestrating, and I'm going to say not Jesus, not just Jesus' birth, but all of history. God is moving the pieces, getting ready. He's preserving Mary's family line. He's deciding that Mary's grandmother is going to like Mary's grandfather, and they're going to get married, and he's doing all these kinds of things. Plus, he's going to get the Romans to be the conquerors at that time, because Jesus is going to die on a cross and not be stoned. He's going to do all these things, and he's going to have prophecies there in place so that people will know. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. It's going to be during this time frame. God is doing all this stuff in the fullness of time when everything was right. God says now. There's no oversights. There's no, I forgot to do this yet, and I don't know what to do next. There's no Haman that wants to destroy God's people, that God wrings his hands and says, I don't know what to do next. And so there's just a tremendous confidence that God is speaking to me, and he's saying, I'm putting it together, and I want you, my friend, my brother, my sister, to know that in the fullness of time, God brings the events of your life together. And now is the right time.
I'm going to read some of this, what I want to share next. I'm going to be pretty vulnerable. In the last month, through remarkable circumstances, someone I hadn't seen in almost 40 years told me about how the Lord showed to him in the last 2 or 3 years that a death curse had been placed on Lil when she was a school teacher in a little village in southern Belize. And then I begin to understand some things. And even though the journey has been difficult, even though I don't see the end of the road, I take great confidence in knowing that in the fullness of time, that was 30 years ago, and we've gone through some very difficult times, but in the fullness of time, God puts the pieces together. You could say, why did it have to be 30 years? I'm not going there. I don't know. I don't understand. But God's putting the pieces in place. And the beautiful thing is that I understand better where the battle is, but I also understand that I'm not alone. I could blame myself. I did mess up. I didn't put the information together right. But I refuse to go there. I'm going to instead say, God, forgive me. I messed up. But in the fullness of time, God puts the pieces together. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Many of you older ones know that Lil went through a crippling depression about the time we got married. Although there was a period of more than a decade that we were free from depression, over the years, upon occasion, depression came back to haunt us. And that's where we're at now again. When we were going through those times of depression, it felt shameful, and we tried to cover it up and not allow others to find out what was happening. If the depression intensified, I made the decision to implement what I understand now to be second best solutions that refuse to address the real causes, and it robbed me of the energy for God's solutions. What I did was wrong, and I repent. I understand now. I return from the lifestyle of hiding. I see now that my sin kept you as a body from being able to pray and to care for us and to minister to us. I want to do something very similar to this to my church family in El Salvador when I get a chance. We're leaving tomorrow. I now see that my silence gave the enemy an advantage, a foothold that he doesn't deserve. In Jesus' name, I reject the spirit of deception, of covering up, and I come into agreement with what is true and where we are now. I can choose to continue to seek godly answers for our dilemma. I'm aware that I have no control over what you will do with this information. I want to do things God's way, and I'm willing to take that risk. I cast my reputation and our reputation. I'll let God take care of that. I trust God with our future. I don't know what will happen next. Tomorrow we return to our home in El Salvador. By God's grace, I want to walk in a new way, even though it's new and very scary. I refuse to go back to our busy schedule, normal schedule, until God does a healing, restorative work in our lives. We desperately need your prayers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Arthur, for your openness with us. This is a work of God that's in process. I think it would be fitting for us to have some special prayer. I would like to have some join me up here on the platform. I'm going to ask Laverne and... Has Oren stepped out? Arlen and anyone else, if there's somebody, anyone else. I mean, the stage can get crowded if you wish. We're going to lay hands on Brother Arthur, and we're going to take turns praying. Would somebody bring that roving mic up here? Taking turns praying, that doesn't mean everybody has to pray, but come on up. And Brother Arthur, if you would take maybe a... kneeling position here, and then those that come. Could some of Arthur's brothers join us too? Lord, we thank you today that we can know you, and we confess that we're limited, and we just recognize our need of your help. I pray that you would bless Arthur with strength and comfort in this time of suffering and sense of inadequacy. Bless him for his confession, and I pray that you would heal Sherry and Lil, and give strength and grace for the journey, whatever it is that you have for them. Lord, we unite our hearts in opposition to the work of Satan, who would loves to wreck. I pray that you would. You would show yourself strong, cast down strongholds.
Amen.
That you would give healing, grace, strength, and Lord, glorify your name in this family, in all of our lives. We confess we need you in a new way today. So I'll turn it over to others.
Gracious Lord, as we all are gathered here in prayer, we each, as we're praying in our seats and gathered around Arthur, just ask that you would teach us how to pray. I just pray that you would hear our prayer. Just pray, precious Lord, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Just thank you so much for the wonderful encouragement and blessing that Arthur is and has been to me, and for the way that you have used him so powerfully to help to show Jesus to me. I thank you, Lord, for that. And I believe that you will continue to do great things in his life. So we just thank you for what you have done and what you're going to do. We just simply wait here on you. We wait in patience, praying for your work to happen here this morning.
Anyone who has an urge, take up.
This is holy ground. We are in awe. at the work that you are doing. And we are, again, I just echo with the others, that we are standing with Arthur and Lil. Mm-hmm. And we commit ourselves, Lord, to walk with them as best we can from a distance in the ongoing hard journey up. Lord, continue to shine your truth on the lives of the enemy. Any lies of inadequacy, lies that make Arthur question whether he should be open, or whether he is finding the right path, or whether he was wrong in relying on the body you've put around him, whether he was wrong in trusting them. Lord, your truth is so powerful. The enemy doesn't have a chance against it. And can just continue to minister your truth and grace on Art and Lil and their family.
God, you are a lover of light.
That's true.
You heard the confession and repentance of things that were hidden and that were dark. And that they are exposed now. Confessed and you have forgiven. And Lord, I pray that they could continue to walk in that light, to walk in that spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Lord, you know all about that death curse that took place years ago. And we disclaim the promise that you are greater than the one that is in the world. And we claim the victory through Jesus Christ. Bless them. And may they continue to experience that victory tomorrow and the next day. In Jesus' name.
Father, we ask that you would, even in the times when you're silent, help us to hear what you're saying. And I ask that you'd be especially with Arthur and Lil and their family as they minister. May they see your power at work in their lives and in those they serve.
Dear God, we just unite together against any forces, any designs of the enemy. We just acknowledge you, Jesus, as all-powerful. We don't understand, as Arthur was grappling with your timing and the big picture. We just know that the devil wants to take things and to get advantage. But we know that Jesus, your blood is over us. We just plead that blood as we unite together with Arthur and his family. Just ask for you to work in a mighty way. For greater are you than he that is in the world. Just praise you.
We just thank you, precious Heavenly Father, for that day when the accuser of the brethren will be cast down forever. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. And I just ask that victory might be real for Arthur and Lil, and Sherry and Carla and each one of the family. I just ask that your victory could be claimed. We believe that you will do it. We thank you, precious Lord Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, we ask these things and commit them to you. Amen.